Robert Browning's masterful soliloquy entitled My Last Duchess tells the story of a European duke as he interviews an emissary about a prospective wife. And as the husband-to-be explains his expectation for his wife, he points to the portrait above him of his last duchess and details the qualities about his last wife that displeased him and perhaps even led to her being called his last duchess. But in his comments, he reveals a lot about himself. If you ever have an opportunity to read this, it's actually a poem. But at one point, he talks about the traits that she had that he would never have. And one of the things that he says throughout the poem is he said that, "I choose never to stoop. I choose never to put myself beneath who I think I am." That is, he had a haughty spirit or a prideful attitude. So tonight I want us to talk just a little bit as we've talked about looking at what can I do when. And Sunday we looked at the idea of forgiveness and what we can do when we doubt. And last night we talked about how we can approach the aspect of when people doubt Christ and His church. And sometimes that's based upon our attitude. But what can we do when we become prideful and high-minded? And sometimes we can get to the point in our lives as Christians where we think we have it all figured out and we kind of go on autopilot. And so we stop looking at the world or our family around us as everybody's kind of going through this Christian journey together. Sometimes we can almost see ourselves as pharisaical in the sense that I don't need help because I know where I am in my life as a Christian. As if to say, I choose not to stoop to where everybody else is. I've reached my plateau, so to speak, in my life as a Christian and my growth and where I need to be. But to have that mindset and that attitude is nothing less than what it means to be unchristlike. And it violates the commands that Paul talks about in Romans 1:23, not to be a high-minded or think higher of ourselves. And sometimes when we become successful in our careers or in our families or in our daily lives, sometimes we can have this idea or mindset that we're doing well and that we don't need anybody else's help. And perhaps we even do that in life as a Christian. Everything's going well. Life is going great. And everything seems to be going good and where I need it to go. But do we have the idea or the mindset then that I'm the one who's making things progress as they ought to progress? And so we can begin to think of ourselves as better perhaps than other people. And I've even seen the attitude of individuals sometimes as they approach those that are outside the body of Christ, as I talked about last night, as if they had it all figured out and they're better than them because they had the truth and they didn't. Because perhaps you've never had the opportunity to hear the truth, or whatever that mindset might be. But one of the things that Paul stresses in Philippians chapter 2 is the proper balance of internal as well as external awareness. And so we have to internally look within ourselves of where we are spiritually to be externally aware of how we're going to address and talk to those that are around us and how we help individuals who are around us. And one of the things that Paul insisted on, consideration for others, and challenged Christians to think, and to think Christianly, as he talked about in Philippians 2 and verse 5. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ, to think like Christ? Sometimes I think perhaps we don't feel that we can attain that particular goal, because after all, this was Jesus Christ. This was the Son of God. This was the individual who was there with God when He created all things, John 1 and verse 1. And so because of this, we think there's no way that I can attain who Christ was in relation to how He thought and how He treated people. Yet, the Bible tells us many times as He's referred to as the master preacher or teacher. And He's referred to the master in the sense because He was such a great teacher in the way that He would approach people. And so last night we talked about the idea of how people doubt Christ in the church can be how our attitudes are and how we treat people in relation to that. But how do we then choose to lose the idea of what it means to be prideful and high-minded to make sure we don't put ourselves up on the so-called Christian pedestal because we think we've arrived? And so Paul insisted on this idea of what it means to have the mind of Christ. And Jesus is a prime example of one who chose to stoop. Remember, Robert Browning said the whole idea behind the concept of the husband was he didn't want to be with a woman who would stoop to the level of those that he thought were beneath him or her. But we should never get to the point in our lives as Christians where we think we're any or wherever that we're better than anybody else. But rather, sometimes we have to look to Jesus' example of how He was and how He would stoop to help those that were around Him. So choosing never to stoop kind of asserts this idea of arrogance and superiority that Jesus never, ever manifested. And sometimes that even drove the Pharisees to the point of pulling their hair out, I think. Because when they would look at Jesus and they would see Him sitting with the base sinners of society and the tax collectors and people that no one wanted to be around, it drove them crazy because they thought they were the religious elite, that they had it figured out, that they were the ones who would tell people how they should worship God, said by traditions that were written down by the scribes. And so they put themselves up on this pedestal, so to speak, as if they were the proper way in which everybody should look and how everybody should be. And Jesus said, that's what you should attain not to be. Don't be like the Pharisees who wave their phylacteries out with their rings and their gold and their clothing and how they think they're better than everybody else. Jesus said, don't ever get to the point where you're like them. And so we have to make sure that we never get to the point where we ever think we're above anybody else. So when you think about Jesus, the first thing Jesus would do when you look throughout the Bible is Jesus chose to stoop to teach people. When you look at John chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, "This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down with His fingers, wrote on the ground as though He had heard them not." This is in relation to the woman who was caught in adultery at the well. You remember that? It was placed before Him, and He didn't look at the woman with an accusing eye. He didn't begin to accuse her because He knew her heart. He knew who she was. He didn't do that. Instead, what He did was that He stooped down, got down literally on His knees, and He began to draw in the sand. Now, there's been some theological discussion as to what Jesus was writing when He stooped down in the sand here. So when He stooped down, was He writing perhaps the sins of the Pharisees that were around Him, pointing to them? Or maybe He was using that moment in reflection and that He didn't write anything at all. And so with that, there was some introspection on their part. If He didn't write anything, but simply stooped to write, He taught something of the danger of hasty judgment. And maybe that's exactly what He was trying to teach them. Even though here was this woman, they dragged out of her situation or her household before Jesus and said, okay, you pronounce judgment on her. Is she guilty or is she not guilty? Based upon what you're teaching, Jesus, tell us what you think. And that's not what Jesus did. He didn't use that moment. It was time in that particular case for quiet reflection, for the motives of the crowd who thought they were better than this young lady, bringing her before Jesus to do this. And His message, though, He says, was to seek and to save. And so in that moment, Jesus chose to stoop down to teach the Pharisees, who thought they were higher and mighty than everybody else, a lesson of what it means not to be high-minded and judge based upon somebody's actions. And so He was merely getting on her level. Sometimes that can be a difficult thing to do, but Jesus chose to stoop. Not only did He choose to stoop to teach, He also chose to stoop to serve. You look at John chapter 13, verses 4 through 5. It said, "He rises from supper and laid aside garments, took a towel and girded Himself. And after that He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded." This is probably one of the best lessons on humility that you'll read in the Bible. Now here is the Son of God who's about to go to His death for the sins of mankind. And in this moment of the last few hours He's going to spend with His disciples, He's going to teach them a lesson on humility and what it means to serve everyone else rather than looking out for yourself. And so when He removes His outer garment, He wraps a towel about Himself, He takes this basin of water, and He stoops down to wash the disciples' feet. Think about how nasty and dirty that job is, but you also have to understand the culture at that time. Only house servants washed feet. So when guests would come into the house, the master would call the house servant, and they would wash their feet before they would enter into the house because they wore sandals. They didn't have paved roads like we have. And so they were walking around these dusty and dirty roads. So as they would come into the house, the servant would kneel down, removing their dirty shoes, washing their feet before they would walk into the rest of the house. And so this is exactly what Jesus is doing now, is that He stoops down in this moment to serve the disciples who did not deserve it based upon their attitude because they were arguing who was going to be better than the other person in the kingdom. And then when He told Peter to do the same thing, what did Peter say? I'm not doing that. That's a nasty job. And what did Jesus say? If you don't wash their feet, you have no part of me. Jesus could have chosen anyone in that room and said, and snapped His finger and said, wash their feet, but that's not what He did. He used that example in that moment to stoop, to show what it means to be humble in the kingdom of God, choosing to serve rather than to be served. It's easy sometimes to get the attitude that we've arrived and that people owe us something. Brother, no one in the church owes us anything. We owe everything to Christ. And if we're not careful, we can begin to have this mindset that we have arrived, especially if we've been in a congregation for a number of years. I remember when I first started preaching, a young green gospel preacher, I was preaching in Northwest Tennessee. And some of the men that had been there that practically had helped start that congregation back in the late 40s and the early 50s told me when I first got there, now of course I didn't know any better, and we didn't have any elders, said, son, now don't you be coming in here and changing anything. We've already got all this figured out. I said, well, by that attitude, I can tell you right now, you don't have anything figured out, is what I told him. Now, mindful I was a young, spiteful, I guess, gospel preacher in that moment, probably wasn't the best thing to say. And at the same time, where I learned was everybody there was related to my wife. And that wasn't good either. But it showed the attitude of individuals who thought, well, you know what, we helped start this congregation, we've been here all these years, this is our church. And that's the wrong attitude to have. But in that moment, Jesus tried to teach his disciples that your job is not to say you stood by me and walked with me, your job is to teach people what I taught you so that they could be saved. And so Jesus was the one who was willing to get down and stoop, not to get on their level, but to be with them at that level. Not to say that I'm coming down to who you are. Jesus said, I am who you are, and I want to be where you are. And so that's the exact mindset that we have to have in relation to how we help people and how we serve people. So this was God's Son that was kneeling down and washing the feet and serving the world, just as He said He was going to do. Because Jesus came, as Luke 19:10 tells us, to seek and to save that which was lost. He was looking for individuals to teach. He was looking for individuals for which He could serve and do better and help them and show them what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus chose to stoop, to serve. But I think one of the greatest examples I know that I take from Christ, not in just who He was, but the example that He showed us and what it meant and how we should talk to the Father, because Jesus would stoop to pray. I think praying sometimes we take for granted because it's such an easy thing perhaps for us to do. And some people it's not perhaps an easy thing to do, but we kind of take it for granted as members of the church because we know we can approach the throne of God anytime we want to. And I say this sometimes at Cary. Sometimes I use that morning in traffic to pray, not with my eyes closed. But I use that time in traffic, takes my mind off everything else going around me, and that's when I get to talk to God. I've got 45 minutes to sit in traffic. And so I can tell Him everything I need to tell Him. I can complain about what I need to complain about. And usually in that moment, He humbles me pretty good with more traffic for some reason. But one of the examples, when you look at John chapter 17, the greatest prayer ever prayed was the prayer that Jesus prays concerning unity and to help His disciples as He knows He's about to leave this earth. But in Luke 22 and verse 41, it says that He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. When you think about kneeling or praying, the physical act of kneeling and stooping to pray is an immediate admission of humility and a testament to the greatness of who God is. I've heard a preacher say one time, never does a man stand so tall than when he kneels to pray before God. Because in that moment, we're recognizing the great Creator for who He is and kneeling in that moment to talk to God. I pray, and when I pray, that's when I'm the most sincere and I'm the most honest. I've actually had people that have come up to me and say, Larry, can you teach me how to pray? I said, just talk from the heart. Sometimes they think, well, I don't know how to say all the these and the thous and eloquent of speech and all of those things. God wants to hear you talk from the heart. Of course, we're still reverent in how we address Him, but God wants to hear it come from here. Tell Him how you're feeling. Tell Him what you're grateful for. Tell Him what you want Him to know. But when we think about that, when I stop to pray like Christ, it's very difficult to be arrogant and aggressive. And when I humble myself, the very gesture humbles me because I'm kneeling before God Himself and before His throne. When Jesus knelt to pray, He yielded to God as He was expressing His words. Even when He said, not thy will, but thy will be done. You see His humanity in that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. When you see that He's in so much stress and so much pain and agony that His capillaries are literally bursting with blood because He knows what He's about to face. But what does He do? He still takes that time to address God. God, if there's any way possible, if you can please just take this cup from me. But not my will, Father, your will be done. And so Jesus knew what His mission was. He knew why He had came. You still see that side of him that John 1:14 says that the flesh, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. We see that he's got that humanity in him, and he knows that this is not going to be an easy thing to do. But he still knew as he prayed to God who the will was having to be done for. A man never stands so tall as when he kneels to pray. And for us, that's something I think we have to make sure we don't take for granted, that we don't use it just as a 911 call when we need something from God or when we're praying over our meal three or four times a day. But that God wants to hear from us on a regular basis. God doesn't want just weekend visits. He wants us all the time. And so when we think about Jesus, Jesus was one that would stoop to pray as he was approaching God. It showed humility. Here was the Son of God himself who chose to humble himself even before his Father as he talked to the Father. He was also one who stooped to save. And I think this was his greatest accomplishment. Again, you think about Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant, who was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross." No doubt, the greatest act of stooping that we see Jesus doing for us as an example to us was when he left the glories of heaven and when he came to this earth. Jesus left everything for which we want to attain. He left the comforts of sitting at the right hand of his Father in heaven to be with us here, to teach with us, to walk with us, but to ultimately die for us at Calvary. And so when we think about that humbling act, notice the words again that Paul used as he struggled with this concept and trying to grasp everything that Jesus did. It said that he emptied himself. He literally gave up who he was in heaven to take on the form of a man to become a servant to serve us who did not deserve it. How would you feel if you were told to serve someone who you knew didn't deserve any type of humanity or servitude? Could we do something like that? Could we put ourselves in such a position to serve someone who you know did not deserve to be served, yet you did it anyway? That's a lesson for us of what it means to be humble. Pride goes, what, before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall? And so pride can make us elevate ourselves to the point where we stop paying attention. But on other occasions, again, we see Jesus stooping to serve, to teach, and to pray. But this time, he stooped to save me and to save you. To leave what he had to come here for me tells me I should be more grateful than anything I've ever done in this life. And so how dare I decide as the, what, the individual in Robert Browning's soliloquy did, he chose not to stoop. I'm not going to put myself for those who I think are beneath me. Jesus chose to stoop. But in relation to what Jesus did for us, we have to learn what it means to stoop ourselves. The first step we take towards humility when we approach the throne of God, whether it's becoming a Christian or to repent when we are Christians, is the idea of what it means to stoop when we need to repent. That's the hardest thing for us to do as mankind, is to admit when we're wrong, to admit that we've made a mistake. Remember, sorrow and repentance are completely different things. Godly sorrow works to the idea and the attitude of what repentance is. Godly sorrow is saying in the sense I've got caught, but now I need to change the way I'm doing things, changing the idea of how I think about that, which brings about the action through my heart and how now I'm going to live. And so I can say I'm sorry all day long, but that's not going to fix what I need to do in relation to repentance. And Jesus is very forthcoming with the idea. He says, unless you're willing to repent, you're going to die in your sins. And so we've got to be willing to take that step. And in that step comes the idea of what it means to stoop with humility and repentance. Repentance admits shame, and as much as we hate it, it's humiliating. Absolutely humiliating that we have to come before God and say, yep, I messed up. This is who I was. In all my glory, God, I'm laying this all to bear before you, and I'm certainly not proud of it. But you know, the great thing about God is God doesn't go, shame on you, does he? Just like a parent would teach a child, as Jesus stooped to teach and pray and to show the example of who he was. But what God does is he welcomes us in and says, I'll take care of this for you. You've admitted the idea. I tell my kids all the time, if you come to me and tell me you've messed up before I catch you, it's going to be a whole lot easier on the back end than the front end. And so what God is telling us is, you bring it before me, lay it bare at my feet, I'll take care of it for you. But sometimes, again, we're embarrassed to do that. And so we've got to be willing to choose to stoop in times of repentance. We've got to take on the form of deep distress and agony and say, God, I'm giving everything to you. And when we acknowledge our sins before the Father, we can only do this by stooping and being humble before Him. But we also have to stoop, I think, sometimes. And I think sometimes, as I say this, don't take this the wrong way. Sometimes I think we choose to stoop in relation to forbearance and bearing other people's burdens with lip service. With lip service. And let me give you a prime example, because this happened to me. I went to make a visit with a mentor of mine to the hospital. And he was visiting where I was preaching in Alabama, and we were doing a gospel meeting. And so we went down to Tuscaloosa to the hospital. One of our members was going to be in there for a few weeks after surgery. And so as we left, I said, if you need anything, just let me know. Well, when I got back to his car, he laid into me. And he said, son, obviously she needs something because she's in the hospital. Obviously she needs you to bear a burden for her and help her because she's in the hospital. He said, don't ask her, just do it. And that was a big lesson for me. Sometimes we don't want to ask for help, do we? It's our human nature. No, I got that. We want to ask, but we don't. Because we don't want to put anybody else out. And so sometimes in lip service and passing, what do? If you need anything, just holler at me. I'm praying for you, but do we really pray for them? Or do we just say it? And so we've got to choose in those moments of forbearance and choosing to stoop to help people. The very picture of bearing another's burden suggests bending down in order to pick up that burden and put it on my shoulders. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, right? God says this is your attitude towards the idea of what it means to serve. And even as Jesus was lugging that cross up to Calvary under the weight of being beaten nearly half to death, who was it that helped him pick up that cross? Simon, right? And I can only imagine Simon's look as the Roman soldier yanked him out of the crowd and said, help him carry that up the hill. And he's thinking, I didn't do anything wrong. But do you think after that moment, when he realized who was on that cross, of what he did in that moment to help Jesus carry the cross up the hill? You see, Jesus was at his weakest and lowest point. And so for us, my stooping in forbearance may include literally taking some of that load onto myself, putting it on my shoulders, and helping someone walk that extra mile. Brethren, we all will get to a point in our lives, whether young, in the middle, or old, where we need help. And if one, sometimes I think the church would be better off if we could learn how to swallow our pride and ask each other for help. But also I think we would be better off in just doing something instead of asking someone if they needed help. And so when we got back to my house, he said, where does Miss Sheila, was the lady's name, where does Sheila live? And so we drove by her house. He said, I know what you can do. You can mow her grass because her yard needs mowing. Needless to say, at that time I only had a push mower, and it was an acre and a half. And so I push mowed an acre and a half that day, but it taught me a lesson too. Sometimes in reaching out to help folks doesn't mean we need to ask their permission. It means we just need to do it. Just do it. I guarantee you they're not going to scold you for helping them. And usually, you know, the best example I learned of that was the secretary when I preached in Fayette, Miss Linda, who passed away of cancer. But I remember one time that she did something for me to help me. And I fussed at her and said, why did you do this? You didn't need to go through all of this trouble. Why did you do this? And she said, let's get something straight, mister. Don't steal my blessing. I said, yes, ma'am. Don't steal my blessing. I chose to do that because I wanted to help you. And we do that, don't we? We make a fuss. Why are you helping me? I don't need your help. Instead of just simply saying, thank you, I appreciate that. Thank you for going out of your way for me and looking out for me and watching out for me. Because in that moment, sometimes it takes a lot for people to stoop to bear the burdens of other people. But also, I think, finally, we have to choose to stoop in times of praise. Psalm 95 and verse 6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Worship is an act in which the individual is dethroned and God is enthroned. Sometimes I've heard people say, a friend of mine told me, he was preaching and after he got done, he was standing at the back and a gentleman came up to him. He said, preacher, you don't motivate me. And he said, sir, if the cross of Calvary doesn't motivate you, then nothing will. And that's the truth. When we come to worship, it's not about us, though we can take something away from it. When we come to worship God, it's about lifting Him up and praising Him for what He did for us. It's not about making ourselves feel better. That's the problem with the religious world today. They want to feel good about themselves. But if you worship God in spirit and in truth, you're going to feel good about yourself. If we do what John 4:24 tells us, we're doing it according to His will, we should take something away from that. That fulfills us and makes us feel whole because we gave to the Father what He wanted us to give Him. We remove ourselves from the pedestal and we place God there. And so when we become high-minded, we need to be careful not to be like the Duke who's saying, I choose never to stoop, is that I'm not bending over and I'm not going to yield to anybody but myself. And so we have to make sure the attitude of pride doesn't get in the way. Remember what I said Sunday? The idea of pride is that we look down upon people, but we spend so much time looking down that we can't look up to see where God is. And so we're looking down at our nose. That's where that whole saying comes from. I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above each other. And the taller that I grew as a Christian, not physically, but the taller I grew as a Christian, I thought that I could reach those blessings better. But that's not the way it is. Because the more I grow as a Christian, and what I realize now that I find that His gifts and those blessings are on shelves that are beneath me, and I have to reach down and get on my knees to get to them. Because in that, I humble myself before God to realize where those blessings are. And so we take a lesson from the fact that I don't care where you are in your spiritual life, sometimes we can get to the point where we think we've done all of this ourselves. I did this. I got this degree. I got the promotion. I got the raise. All of those things, sometimes we think that we're afforded, that we can put our name on and say, look at how good I am and look at how great I am. But remember, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. Everything comes from God. And when we remember the blessings that we have in life, it helps us better to remember who we are and who we serve. I say this at Cary too, and I know they've heard this a few times, but my grandmother was a preacher's wife for almost 50 years. And one of the things she used to say when I stayed with her was she'd thank God for dishes. She'd thank God for dirty laundry. Well, at the time, I never understood those things. Usually, I was the one doing the dishes. But what she was saying and telling me was those things that we take for granted and complain about are the very blessings by which we're able to feed and put clothes upon our back. So again, it's humbling ourselves to realize the blessings that God gives us aren't always in accordance to what we want, but that God is providing for what we need. And it helps us better to see who God is and not take Him for granted. Because sometimes I think when we become successful in life as Christians, we take God for granted, almost as if He owes us something because we've been faithful, because we come to church every time the doors are open, because we're there for every opportunity that we can be. And God says, don't get like that. Don't get like that. Because when we do, we forget where we've come from. Have you ever become high-minded? Have you ever become too prideful? Have you ever tripped over your own pride? I have. And it's in those moments when we get knocked down that we have to pay attention and look up to where God is. And so tonight I ask you, if you've never put on Christ in baptism, is it something that's holding you back based upon your pride to say, I've got this figured out, or this is where I hear this sometimes. Larry, I'll become a Christian once I figure things out and fix my problems, as if they're going to fix it on their own. You're not going to do it by yourself. But if you allow yourself to be humble before God and ask Him for help, He will lift you up and He will help you. But that means we have to take the step, right? We've got to choose to stoop in repentance to put it all to bear before His throne and say, Lord, I messed up. I don't want to be this person anymore. And He says, we'll fix it. Tell me who Jesus is. Confess with your mouth who Jesus is as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And if you're ready to fix those things, you know who Jesus is. Let's wash that past away completely in that water. Let's bury you with Him in baptism. Let's make you a new creature so that you can walk to be a new person in this life. And when we do that, we pay more attention to the cross. And when we become high-minded sometimes as Christians because we think we've arrived, sometimes that's when God knocks us back down flat on our face. And then we realize we really haven't arrived. If you're struggling tonight, if you've been too prideful, maybe you just need some encouragement or some prayers, whatever it is, we want to help you, we want to encourage you, we want to lift you up, and we want you to know that you're not alone and that you're loved by this church family. So if we can help you in any way, let us know as together we stand and as we sing.